Amen, amen. Please stand for the doxology, if you will.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen. Even our pet friends are saying
yeah,
amen.
Right. I love
that. Listen, just for the record, babies and pets at church, I'm okay with that. I always figure the pet parents and the moms, they're smart enough to know when it's a problem. By the way, you didn't know you were a pet parent. This is an official designation, by the way. My daughter is the salon manager at Petco in Signal Hill. So for a paid advertisement, if you need your dog groomed, go there. But that's the terminology in all of their manuals and all that. You are a pet parent. Of course, Kelly and I are pet grandparents, but that's a whole other... Yes, see? So don't panic. I'm good with the pets. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. While you're getting there, let me kind of set the stage for the next couple of weeks. As you know, we kind of like to go pick a book of the Bible and go verse by verse by verse by verse and go through that. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's always going to be our general approach to things. But we have 2 weeks before we start the Advent cycle. And in that 2 weeks, we have Thanksgiving. So I thought what I would do for the next couple of weeks is just give kind of specific messages about this whole idea of being thankful, giving thanks and all that. And then we'll go into our Advent season, and when we're done with that, we will pick another book of the Bible and dig back into God's Word. Everybody on board with that? Is that okay? So should we take a vote? No?
No.
Okay. So our theme for the day is how to be thankful in hard times. Does that sound... Now, I found that somewhere, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good title considering what's going on. So we need to know this. At least I need to know this, how to be thankful during hard times. Because it's really easy for Christians to weaken and waver during hard times. And when things are going well, we go week by week, and we sing, and we enjoy the music, and we put our envelope in, and it's all really, really great. And then things go south at home, or at work, or in the world, and we sometimes lose folks. They kind of huddle at home. But we can't be that, because we are to be a light to the world, amen?
Amen.
What you do matters. What you do in the world, how you conduct yourself in the world, matters. And believe me, the way you conduct yourself in hard times, if people know you're a Christian, the way you conduct yourself in hard times matters. It has eternal significance. Because the world crumbles under hard times. They cry, they whine, they give up, they quit on hard times. But we're not to be like that. We're supposed to be those people that other people wonder, what do they know that I don't? And that may just give you the opportunity to tell them what you know that they don't. So how do we be thankful in hard times? We're just going to start right in. This message is going to encourage all of us to thank God, even in the midst of difficult times. So this is a passage we use every month when we do communion. So we're in Luke chapter 22. We're going to look at 17 through 19. And before I read it, again, I want to set the stage. Jesus is finishing his ministry. He's pretty much down at the end. And he gathers his guys together to have a meal with them at Passover. You know, in a few passages before that, he says it in the way I would put it. He says, you know, guys, I am so excited to have this meal with you. Now, as we're going to see, he knew what was coming. But how did he set up the scene? He says, I have so looked forward to this. My Bible says, I have earnestly desire to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. So he knew what was coming. And what did he express to the guys? I am so happy to be here. Would that we can learn something from that. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, you have given us your word, both as history and as lesson. When we go to your word, Lord, we want to know what happened, and we want to hear your voice through the words of Scripture. Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to reveal that which you would have us learn today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look in here. Starting at verse 17, it says, And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourself. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And now we use these texts every month when we do communion. But the context is important. He's saying these words knowing where he would be 24 hours later. He knew what was coming. And if anybody understood what hard times were, it was Jesus. He would go from this meal, he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he would pray drops of blood, asking the Lord, You know, Dad, if there's any way around this, but your will be done. How's that for an example of being thankful in hard times? So he is our example. So notice that these words are spoken by Jesus in the context of what's coming. He was only a short time away from being betrayed, mocked, beaten, spit upon, and eventually murdered. Not only this, but he would also endure intense spiritual agony. And yet he was thankful. He was thankful. He was so excited to have this meal with them. He gave thanks and he shared the elements around. Even in that moment, he was thankful. So knowing everything that was coming, he still found reasons to give thanks. He was thankful in the most horrible of times imaginable. But Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, once said this about speaking of Jesus. He said this, There was a majesty in the misery, a glory in the shame. He died like a king, for he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No greater love and humility has ever been manifested. Now you say, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, here's the thing, folks. We are to be like Jesus. We are to strive to be like Jesus. We are to be imitators. Yes, we are to strive in that direction. No, we are not Jesus, but we are to continually do everything in our power to be like Jesus. And if Jesus could be this thankful under what he